Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Charles Spurgeon, widely regarded as the prince of preachers by many Christian scholars, he had a lot to say about hell and what the believer's stance should be regarding hell. Here are a few quotes by this man of God. "Free will carried many a soul to hell, but never a soul to heaven. Satan can make men dance upon the brink of hell as though they were on the verge of heaven. Think lightly of hell, and you will think lightly of the cross. Think little of the sufferings of lost souls, and you will soon think little of the Savior who delivers them. Satan does not care whether he drags you down to hell as a Calvinist or as an Arminian, so long as he gets you there." There is a preacher by the name of Tiff Shuttlesworth who shared the following points in teaching about hell. "Hell is a place of eternal duration, where every person is sentenced to the same length of time. In hell, individuals have awareness and memory, which adds to their suffering. Jesus taught about hell in a parable in Luke chapter 16, emphasizing the hard truth about its existence. Crying and weeping are constantly associated with the experience of punishment in hell. Hell is a place with no possibility of appeal or escape. Turning from sin and turning to Jesus is the opportunity presented to avoid the consequences of hell. Now, I would like to tell you the story of a man named Dominic who grew up in a Christian house. He believed in God. He was a nice guy and even went to church sometimes. However, the thing about Dominic is that he was not willing to surrender his life to Jesus. He figured he would have time when he got older to bend the knee to Jesus. He still had a lot of life left to live, so he wanted to live it his way. Or so he thought. Now, Dominic went to bed one particular Wednesday night. There was nothing out of the ordinary on that day, but unfortunately, Dominic had a heart attack in his sleep that night. Silently, quietly, he woke up in hell. When he woke up, he had his memory intact. He could remember his life on earth. He remembered his kids, friends, and parents. He remembered his late nights, which he had partied and got wasted with his friends. He remembered the comfort of his favorite sofa at home and the pool table he played every Thursday night after work with a few buddies. He remembered it all, but instantly knew he would never experience any of that again. He felt just like the rich man in Luke 16, which was a text he had heard preached many months back. This rich man had it all, anything you could dream of. He lived in luxury with his wealth and mistreated a poor man named Lazarus. The rich man would not even give him a bite of food. Yet one day, the rich man died and went to hell. He wanted to warn his friends about the horror of hell, yet he was unable to. This is exactly what Dominic felt. He remembered everything, yet could not warn those he loved. Dominic also felt hopeless. Most of the pain in Dominic's life was temporary. He had broken his ankle at 16 playing basketball. While it hurt, it was temporary. He had fallen in love with a woman at 22. She broke up with him, While it hurt for a while, it was temporary. Dominic once got in a fight at the bar and busted open his head. While it hurt, it was temporary. Every pain in Dominic's life was temporary. But he knew the pain he felt now would be unending. There is no getting over this one. Hell is a place where you exist forever in pain. Yet, he knew from day one that he was never escaping this type of pain. All he heard around him were others crying. They were full of just as much pain as he was. He could not get their cries out of his head. They were sobbing so hard that they were gnashing their teeth together. You could hear the grinding of others' teeth. Yet, no matter how hard they gnashed their teeth, there was no end. And there was fire everywhere. This was more heat than Dominic had ever experienced. He felt like he was stuck in the sun. It was so hot that Dominic desired water. Yet, there was no water to put out the fire. No water to quench his thirst. By far, the worst part for Dominic was knowing that God was not present. Hell is the absence of God. He remembered a quote his friend had told him. His friend said, "Earth is as close to heaven as some will get, and earth is as close to hell as others will get." On earth, Dominic remembered all the blessings he received from God. He remembers all the common grace God gave everyone. Dominic thought about the walks on the beach he often enjoyed, or the sound of laughter of his kids as they were filled with joy. He remembers eating a burger at his favorite burger place, and even how he would enjoy drinking a milkshake with his mom as a kid. All of these experiences were made by God for all people to enjoy. Yet, Dominic will never experience these things again. Hell is a lack of God, in the absence of God's blessing. Due to that, he will never experience life again as God had created and intended for his people. The love and presence of God is completely absent in hell. Every couple of minutes, Dominic remembers that he had the chance to respond to the gospel. As a matter of fact, he had numerous chances. He knew that Jesus died for his sin. He knew that Jesus drank the cup of hell in his place while on the cross. He knew that Jesus became sin and died so that all might have life. Yet, Dominic was never willing to accept it. He wanted to repent now, but knew that would never be an option. He was full of pain because he knew he would never have the opportunity to accept that message again. This filled him with a much deeper pain than the fire or the gnashing of teeth. However, no matter how hard he tried to keep that thought out, it continued to come back. It is too late for Dominic. He has already chosen to ignore God's voice on earth. He will never get that chance to turn to Jesus or tell his family and friends to trust in the gospel message. He will never get that chance to enjoy God's grace in his life or be in God's presence. However, it's not too late for you. If you are hearing this message, you still have life in your body. You still have breath in your lungs. But you and I are all sinners. In one way or another, we have all disrespected the law of God at some point in our lives. And we have all turned our backs on God. And you know what? This makes us sinners who are worthy of hell. However, let me tell you this. God loves you so much. His love for you is so great that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. In doing so, he made a way to forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life in heaven. The truth is that everybody will have eternal life. Some will have eternal life in heaven, and others will have eternal life in hell. Choose life today by bending the knee to Jesus. You will never regret it. Yet, if you do not, you will always regret it. If you could ask Dominic, he would warn you to do the same. So how can we avoid hell? How can we make it to heaven? Well, Christ is knocking on the door of our hearts. He wants eternal life for us, and not damnation. He doesn't force himself in, but instead waits for us to respond to his knock. In Revelation 3, verse 20, the Lord addresses his church and says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they are with me." So let us be open to his voice, which we hear during prayer, meditation, and upon reading his word, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let us not harden our hearts. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Instead, let us listen and respond to his knock. Let us open the door and let him in, so that he may dwell with us and in us.
What does the Christian of today look like? And what should the Christian of today look like? These are two very different questions, which can have two very different answers depending on who you ask. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Listen to this closely. "Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." I believe that this is true Christianity, following the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left heaven for earth to die for our sins. He put the church before himself. He obeyed God's will. He lived a life of purpose, a purpose that can be summed up with his words in Luke 22, verse 42, which says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." When we get to such a place, this is what I believe to be true Christianity. Now, I would like to encourage you to take the following steps so that you can make sure you are marching forward and living a life that pleases the Lord. To begin with, we all need to live lives where God is first. You and I need to live a life that places God above everything. Place God before everything. The Amplified Translation for Luke 9, verse 23 says, "And he was saying to them all, 'If anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and, if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me.'" This reminds me of the song that says, "Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down." And to me, this means living a life where you are completely consumed by the Lord's presence, by his word, by the Holy Spirit. And no, it doesn't mean you neglect your day-to-day responsibilities because you're praying 24/7. No. It simply means that your mind is constantly fixed on Jesus Christ. You're either quietly meditating on a verse as you are making breakfast, or you're worshiping and praising as you are driving. Whatever it is, have the presence of mind to ask yourself, "Am I connected to the Lord? Am I glorifying the Lord?" Now, the phrase, "put God first," has become very popular in this day and age, but in practical terms, what does it mean? Well, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he answered in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." This says to me that your love for Jesus Christ supersedes everything. It's a love that prioritizes the Lord. God first really means God first. Now, another point that I'd like to highlight about a real follower of Jesus Christ is that they fear the Lord. And to fear God isn't to say that you're terrified of Him. No. To fear God is to realize who He is, how big He is, how mighty and all-powerful He is, and this leads you to have a deep respect, reverence, and awe for God's power and authority. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of God is what motivates godly behavior. The fear of God leads one to repent and pursue a holy life. The fear of God keeps you on the straight and narrow. When you fear God, you do not take sin lightly because you know that God is holy and pure, and He does not tolerate unrighteousness and impurity. Further traits of a real follower of Jesus Christ are that they serve wholeheartedly. All they do is to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I encourage you to do all that you can in God's kingdom, but do it to bring glory to Him and not for yourself. Serve for the glory of Jesus Christ. Serve so that unbelievers and those who are lost may see the goodness of God through you. Serve with pure intentions. Serve with godly intentions. A lot of us need to be obedient to Galatians 5, verse 13, which says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." When you serve for the glory of God, this, I believe, is when you are truly imitating Christ. Now, my final point is closely linked to this matter of serving. A true follower of Jesus Christ is humble. And humility doesn't mean you allow yourself to be used and abused. It simply means you don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, and you don't think any less of others than you ought to. And to be honest, this is a matter that's all to do with pride. Pride says, "I can do this on my own." Pride says, "I'm self-made. I am successful, and I did it because I worked hard." Pride says, "Look at me. Look what I have done." However, humility says, "In my weakness, God's strength is made perfect." Humility says, "God will give me strength. God will renew my strength. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do you see the difference? Pride says, "Look at me," but humility says, "Look at Christ." Pride says, "Look at what I have done," but humility says, "Look at what the Lord has done." James 4:6, "But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." You find favor in being humble. You find blessings in being humble. So I encourage you to be someone who puts God first. Whether it's day or night, come rain or sunshine, put God first. Be someone who lives with the fear of the Lord in their life. Revere and honor our Lord Jesus Christ always. And finally, be humble. Always be humble in everything you do. Seek to serve others, all for the glory of God.